I believe in God. I believe in His Son, Jesus, that He died on the cross for my sins. I believe in the Bible, that it's the inspired Word of God. I fully believe that I need the church, that it's the only hope of the world. I know that I can change through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God is fair and unjust. I have forgiven those who have wronged me, even though Christ has forgiven me. I realize that true happiness comes from within myself. I can honestly say I trust more in money than God. I am always looking for a way to share my faith with others. I am a Christian atheist.
Find yourself asking the question, why do many things happen in life that don't seem fair? Why do the unrighteous seem to prosper and the faithful are suffering? Why do good people get killed by drunk drivers? Why do some riders fall down in the Tour de France and others never fall down? Why do you get stopped for a speeding ticket and those that passed you never get stopped by the police? Why do the Arizona Cardinals lose the Super Bowl? If God is fair, why doesn't He do something about the injustice in the world? We must conclude then that either God isn't fair or God is powerless to do anything. We're beginning a series entitled The Christian Atheist, and the Christian atheist is someone that believes in God, but the way they live their life is totally different. The Christian atheist lives as though God doesn't exist. He believes at the end of the day that God isn't making a lot of difference in the world. After all, why would a good God allow so much pain and suffering in the world? Why would God allow someone who's been faithful for years to lose everything, all of his wealth, his property, his family, lose everything but his life? Why would God allow that to happen? No doubt Job in the Old Testament had to deal with that. He probably said, "Why, God, does life not seem fair?" Or go to the New Testament. John the Baptist was empowered by God to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. The Bible says John was morally upright in every way. He even baptized Jesus. And yet when King Herod's stepdaughter begged to have his head on a platter, God didn't intervene. God did nothing to save him. No doubt John the Baptist thought life isn't fair. Or what about Jesus? He's standing before Pontius Pilate as a person who has never done anything wrong or committed sin. And next to him is a murderer named Barabbas. And Pilate asked the crowd, "Which one do you want me to release?" They asked for Barabbas. The guilty man is set free. The innocent man was condemned to die. That doesn't seem fair. Where is God when life doesn't seem fair? Why doesn't God take care of all the injustice in the world? Middle-aged woman had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. And while she was on the hospital, operating table, she had a near-death experience. She talked with God and He told her she had another 30 years to live. So upon her recovery, she decided to stay in the hospital a little longer and had a facelift, a tummy tuck, liposuction, and even changed the color of her hair. She said, if I'm going to live another 30 years, I might as well make the most of it. Well, after all that happened, she walked out of the hospital and was killed by an ambulance on its way to the hospital. She arrived at the pearly gates and complained to God. She said, "God, I thought you told me I was going to live another 30 years. And God said, "Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't recognize you." That is bad. Let's just get it out there. That's flat out bad, all right? Today, we're going to look at the reason for injustice in the world and how we as believers in Christ should respond to all the injustice. First of all, let's deal with the reality. The reality is life is unfair. First of all, because criminals often go unpunished. The Bible says, because the sentence against evil deeds is so long in coming, people in general think they can get by with murder. Courts are bogged down. Justice is slow, and often delayed justice comes across as injustice. I mean, after all, who says crime doesn't pay? Criminals can sell their story on TV or to a TV tabloid program and make millions. Or Martha Stewart can go to prison for a few months and come out with a brand new TV show. It's not a matter today of whether you're guilty or innocent. Often the question today is, do you have enough money to finance the right legal team to get you off? Criminals go unpunished, and we would say life's not fair. Secondly, victims aren't helped. Bible says, next I turn my attention to all the outrageous violence that takes place on the planet. In the tears of the victims, there's no one to comfort them. You see, humans tend to oppress each other. The rich oppress the poor. The bully oppresses the weak. The pimp oppresses young girls. And the list goes on and on and on, and no one stands up for the oppressed. In the Christian organization called Voice of the Martyrs, reported that last year over 1 million Christians were killed around the world for their faith in Jesus Christ. Never read that, do you? Where are the people that hear the cry of the victims, the cry of those that are martyred for Jesus Christ? We would say life's not fair. Thirdly, wrong people prosper. Bible says here's what happens all the time and makes no sense at all. Good people get what's coming to the wicked, and the bad people get what's coming to the good. Look around. Many dishonest people are getting ahead. Does that bother you? You work hard day after day, and you seem to never get ahead. It even appears sometimes the wicked are better off. They're having more fun. Why is it that sometimes unethical businesses still get the contract? We would say it's not fair. Fourthly, capable people struggle. Bible says the race is not always to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor satisfaction to the wise, nor riches to the smart, nor grace to the learned. Sooner or later, bad luck hits us all. What's that mean? You can be brilliant and still be poor. You can work hard and never be able to afford a home, while at the same time, the next door neighbor sells drugs and lives in a mansion, and you say, this doesn't seem right. That's why in our culture today, it's unusual. The biggest salaries don't always go to the brightest people. Boxers make more money than the President of the United States. High school dropouts become stars on MTV. High school graduates become millionaires in the NBA. Capable men and women don't always get the position. Injustice happens all the time because of age or disability or appearance or sex or the color of your skin. And I think what Solomon is trying to say all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes is, let's admit it, life isn't always fair. If we're not careful, our response right now is, then why doesn't God stop the injustice? Is he uncaring? Is God indifferent to what's going on? Is he helpless to stop all of this? No, he is not. I think there are reasons why God allows injustice in the world. Number one, because he gives us the freedom to choose. God says, I'm giving you a choice between a blessing and a curse. If you read on in that scripture, the blessing comes when we're obedient to God's commands. The curse comes when we're disobedient to God's commands and we follow after false gods. You see, God gives us the freedom to choose. You have a choice. You can either accept God or reject God. You can choose to do good or you can decide not to do good. But with every choice comes consequence. So what's the good news? Good news today is you can choose. The good news today is you have freedom. The good news today is you can do whatever you want. But the bad news is bad decisions bring bad consequences. And in my opinion, much of the evil that we experience in the world today is because of wrong choices and wrong behavior. Do you realize that God could take away all the injustice in the world with just a snap of a finger? You say, how? By taking away your freedom to choose. By taking away your freedom to do injustice. Why doesn't God do that? Because if God took away our freedom to choose, every one of us here today would be robots. God allows injustice also because I believe judgment is coming. Bible says God will judge the righteous and wicked. That means all of us are going to face the judgment. There's a right time for everything, every deed. There's no getting around it. In other words, today's not the end of the story. The final chapter has not been written. You need to remember one day God will balance the books and make repayment. And just because you look around and you see people getting away with things now, it doesn't mean they'll get away with things forever. All of us will have a day of reckoning. All of us will have a day of accounting. If I did not believe that all of us would have a day where we would have a day of reckoning before Almighty God, I'd be in deep despair. Because you look around and you see the examples of injustice. You see people getting off on technicalities, and it makes you want to ask, God, why don't you bring justice to people today and do it right now? It's because God is delaying judgment. But none of us will escape the consequences of our decisions. I think also God allows injustice to show us that we need a Savior. Bible says there's no one on earth who does what is right all the time and never sins. That verse means we're all in trouble. We're all in the same boat. Do you know why there's so much injustice in the world? The world is full of unjust people. The world is full of sinners, people like you and me. Injustice reveals human nature because over time, we're left to see what people are really like, and given the opportunity, most of us will tend to think of ourselves first. That's why we need help. The Bible says we've all sinned, yet God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ, who freely takes away our sins. That is an incredible promise for a believer in Jesus Christ. Put that back up on the screen, if you would, please. Let's say that out loud together. Ready? We have all sinned, yet God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ, who freely takes away our sins. You see, you don't need justice today. You need a Savior. I don't want justice. Why? I don't want what I deserve. I'm a sinner. I want God's grace. Jesus died for the righteous as well as the unrighteous. Why? To bring us back to God, to declare us not guilty, and by His shed blood on the cross to take away all of our sins. My friends, no matter how good you and I are, we cannot save ourselves. Because God's standard is what? Perfection. It's holiness. And because all of us have sinned, we are below God's standard of holiness. And God cannot lower His standard of who He is. So the only way that we can become right and holy is accepting Jesus Christ by faith and His shed blood on the cross to wash away our sins so that we would be pure. That's why we're in trouble. And I believe God allows injustice to make us understand we can't save ourselves, we need a Savior. Fourthly, God allows injustice because pain can develop character. The Bible says suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. In other words, you always learn more from pain than pleasure. You always learn more from failure than success. Philip Yancey, in his book, Where is God When It Hurts, says, quote, "Pain and suffering is not God's great mistake. It's the gift nobody wants." I'll repeat that, because you tend to say, God, why am I going through this? Pain and suffering is not, God didn't make a mistake because you're struggling. It's the gift of God that nobody wants. You see, if God is going to use pain to develop our character, we got to change our perspective on pain and suffering. One example would be Charles Colson, who was the brilliant attorney, Watergate convicted criminal. He was sent to prison. And while he was in prison, no doubt he thought, this is not fair, why am I here? But God changed his perspective, and he was able to see the injustice going on in the prison system, and he had a burden for those incarcerated, and he came out and started Prison Fellowship, the most incredible ministry to prisoners there is. Or Fanny Crosby, a woman that was blind for over 90 years, and yet she allowed her perspective to change on her limitation. And she has written hundreds of gospel hymns to bless us all. Or how about Job? You talk about somebody that lost his family, his wife, his possessions, his portfolio. He lost it all. What about his perspective? The Bible says the Lord blessed the latter part of his life more than the first, because he's faithful to God. Job lost 7,000 sheep. In the end, he had 14,000 sheep. He lost 3,000 camels. In the end, he got 6,000 camels. He lost 500 yoke of oxen. In the end, he got 1,000 yoke. He lost 500 donkeys. In the end, he had 1,000 donkeys. He had all 10 children die. And in the end, he was given 7 more sons and 3 daughters. And some of you are saying, wait a minute. Why didn't God double the number of children the way he doubled everything else? I don't know. Maybe God thought 20 kids wouldn't have been a blessing after all. I don't know, all right? God allows pain and suffering to mold your life and your character. And some of you may be thinking right now, but Pastor Don, I have been dealt a pretty rotten hand. Life isn't fair. I don't deserve it. Okay, so what do you do when life isn't fair? I think you can respond in 3 different ways. Number one, accept the fact that life's unfair. You got to accept that. Bible says, in this world you will have trouble. Aren't you glad that God brought you to CCV today to be encouraged? in this world you will have trouble. It does not read, in this world you'll have a stress-free life. In this world you'll always be successful. In this world your children will make straight A's and be great athletes. In this world your football team always wins. In this world you'll make a lot of money. In this world you will have all of your prayers answered. Jesus was realistic about life. And he said, in this world you're going to have trouble. That means, gang, there will always be injustice in the world. And that's why you can spend your life crusading against injustice and you will not change society permanently. Listen carefully. Don't misunderstand. I am all for billions of dollars being spent in HIV/AIDS in Africa and poverty to help poor people around the world, but that will not change permanently. You know why? Because unless people come to Jesus Christ, there will not be permanent change. The next generation will repeat the cycle. Because the problem is human nature. We tend to be selfish. We tend to choose the wrong way intentionally. We like to take the path of least resistance, and we like to do the easy thing. The first key to respond to injustice and suffering is you got to accept the fact that life's not fair, because if you don't get perspective on this, you will go through life bitter, depressed, resentful, and disillusioned, because you'll ask yourself all the time, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Why is this happening to my friends? Gang, you cannot control the circumstances that happen in your life, but you can control how you react to those circumstances. Another way to say it, suffering is inevitable, but misery is optional. We're all going to suffer in different ways. If you live long enough, you're going to experience some injustice, but how you respond is optional. First key here, just accept the fact that life's unfair. Secondly, do the right thing anyway. Do the right thing anyway. Bible says, learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. When everybody else is going the wrong way, you still, as a Christian, stand up for what is right. Fight for civil rights. Fight for the oppressed. Fight for the less fortunate. Be bold and step up. Because the tendency is we tend to want to follow the crowd, and the crowd is usually going the wrong way, and we end up rationalizing, we can do this because everybody else is doing it. Why are you cheating on your spouse? Everybody else does it. Why are you stealing from your employer? Everybody else does it. Why are you cheating on your taxes? Everybody else does it. No, don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. Do the right thing. Bible says, because the sentence against evil deeds is so long in coming, people in general think they can get by with murder. Even though a person sins and gets by with it 100 times throughout a long life, I'm still convinced that the good life is reserved for the person who fears God and lives reverently in His presence. That says God's watching us. God is watching us. Do the right thing. Don't look for the immediate satisfaction. Take the long-term look. The good life is reserved for who? Those who fear God. Live to please God rather than living to please your friends. Accept the fact that life's unfair. Do the right thing anyway. Number three, hang on there and wait for God's reward. I love this translation in this passage in 2 Corinthians 4. It says we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes. I love that phrase. You're going through the pits right now. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. Why are we missing out then? Here's the key. There's far more here than meets the eye. If you do not live by faith, you're going to live just for what you see today. And you're going to miss it. It says what? The things we see now are here today. Wow, they look good. They're gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see, that's faith, will last forever. Be faithful. Do the right thing and you will be rewarded. Oh, but Pastor Don, I've had troubles all my life. I've been taken advantage of all my life. My business partner stole me blind. My spouse was unfaithful. I was overlooked at work for a promotion. I have a rebellious child that doesn't appreciate anything I do for them. My friends, they all deserted me. My parents didn't even leave me anything in my will. Everybody has their share of injustice. It happened to Job. It happened to John the Baptist. It happened to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you live long enough, it'll happen to you. But please remember, God has your best interest at heart. You're His child. He gives you the freedom to choose good or bad. And the decisions that you make will determine your consequence. And you'll be judged by your decisions and rewarded for your choices. Don't get bitter at the injustice in the world. Keep your eyes on heaven. This is not what we're living for. We're living for our eternal reward. Let me tell you about a famous person who suffered and faced all kinds of injustice. He was given up as an infant by his mother, an unmarried young woman in Canada. He was adopted by a poor middle-aged couple. His father was a kind gentleman, but he was a terrible businessman. He was a part-time preacher that tried selling insurance, and he was not very good at either. And so the family ended up living in a charity home run by a church in San Diego. This young man graduated from high school at an early age and hit the road as a hobo at age 16. One day, while sleeping in a boxcar, a couple of thugs held him at gunpoint. They said, "Put your hands straight out and lie flat. If this match goes out and I hear anything, I'll kill you." They searched his pockets and found $1.30, but missed the $10 he had sewn into his coat lining. The thugs spared his life and left him alone in the boxcar. The 16-year-old continued on with his life. He went on to star as a broadcaster for 45 years. He was a businessman, author, and lecturer. He was married to the same wife for over 60 years. He had 5 children, 7 grandchildren, and 8 great-grandchildren. Who was this person that suffered all kinds of injustice? His name was Art Linkletter. I share you this story to remind you where he started and how he faced injustice and where he ended up. And if he can do it, you can too. Remember, life's not always fair. God is fair, but He's not always just. And that's good news. You don't believe me? Listen to this. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. God is just, but He's not always fair. Because if the wages of sin is death, and if all of us are sinners, then we deserve death because we've broken the law and we're guilty, and we deserve to be punished because we've broken the law. And to die and suffer eternally would be fair punishment for our sin and disobedience. But thank God, He's not fair. He's just. God doesn't always give us what we deserve. We deserve death, but by His grace, He's offered us eternal life. What's the takeaways from this whole idea of injustice and suffering? Let me share 3 things quickly. Number one, for the injustice done to you, let it go. Let it go. We say here a lot around here, you know what? If you've been wronged and you struggle, turn it over, palms down, and let it go. You got to accept the fact that life's unfair. But Don, you don't know what's been done to me. No, I don't. But I do know that if you try to settle the score, you're going to have ulcers and health problems and physical problems the rest of your life. Okay, you can't get even. You can't settle the score. You can't play God. If you do, you're headed for trouble. You got to release it and turn it over to God. Let it go. What about the injustice done to others? Let it show. Let it show. Our job for those that are oppressed is to show the love of Jesus Christ. Sometimes as Christians, what is our spiritual answer? I will pray for you. People sometimes don't need prayer, they need action. I mean, we look around and you see things like we saw the streetlight ministry here in this city that we helped start for young girls, sex trafficking being taken advantage of. You don't have to pray about that till Jesus comes back. Something needs to be done. And so when you see injustice to others at your school or the workplace or wherever you are, as a believer in Jesus Christ, stand up and step up and be bold and act like Jesus would act and show His love. What about the injustice done to Jesus? Let it grow. Never forget the greatness of His love. We must never forget to tell others. That's why we're here, to go to heaven and take as many people with us as we can. We must never forget the incredible gift of God through Jesus Christ. The Bible says this is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Good news today, no matter how much injustice has been done to you or how much you have faced, you can leave this life as a winner by giving control of your life to Jesus Christ, by giving control of your situation to Jesus Christ, by putting your faith in Him, because no matter how good you are, you can't save yourself. You need a Savior. And the good news, God sent Jesus to save us, that we might spend eternal life with Him. Let's pray. Lord God, today, thank You for life. As we hear this message today, for a lot of us, this brings all kinds of emotions up. For a lot of us, our stomach's hurting right now because we thought we had let it go. We thought the hurt and the injustice and the pain, we'd let You handle that. But as we hear about this, there's some memories that come back and we realize we haven't let it all go. God, I pray You'd help us today. Release it to You and let You handle it. Because we want to live healthy and happy lives. Lord, when we look around this city and we see the injustice done here around the world, I pray as a church that we would not become complacent. Thank You that we are willing to step up and be bold and put our money where our faith is and say, God, we need to do something about this situation and reach out and respond with Your love. I pray, Lord, that we would never see the Christian faith as a personal deal. It's so much more than that. You didn't keep it to Yourself. You came and shared it, and You told us to tell the whole world. And I pray that You'd put upon our hearts someone in our family, someone we live close to, someone we work with, go to school with, someone that needs Your love and Your grace and Your hope and Your life, and help us the rest of this year to do everything we can to share with others how great You are and the difference You've made in our lives. We are incredibly grateful, Lord, that You're not fair. You didn't give us what we deserved. You give us Your grace. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. We're honored you're here. Man, thank you for coming and bringing your friends. If you're a first-time guest, we have a special gift for you out at the information area. You'd stop by and pick that up. Today is Starting Point. If you have questions about CCV or you say, how do I become a follower of Christ? How do I get connected to this ministry? At 12 o'clock today, that's available. If you haven't made reservation, you can still go there and be a part of that. It will be incredible. Next weekend, in part two of this series, we're going to talk about the Christian atheist who believes in God but don't think you can change. A lot of us think everybody else can change, but we're not sure God can change us. And so we're going to try and look at that. If I need your attention, in November 18th, write that date down, November 18th, a one-day incredible leadership challenge is coming to here at CCV. We have the opportunity to be host for a Catalyst one-day conference. It's the first time it's been done in the Western United States for one day. And here's what they're going to be talking about. Discover the key to creating and sustaining momentum in your organization. Identify and break through the barriers to momentum. Overcome personal leadership lids. Create a culture of continual improvement, and on and on and on. This will be an incredible day of inspiration and challenge. Who's going to do it? It's going to be two, in my opinion, of two of the greatest pastors in America today. Andy Stanley, who preaches at North Point in Atlanta, and Craig Groeschel, who's the pastor of Life Church in Oklahoma City, who has written a book, Christian Atheist, from which we got this series idea. But these guys are incredible leaders, leading their churches through incredible organization momentum changes. And a lot of us in the business community here, we're understanding losing momentum. How do you get that back? How do you deal with that? This will be incredible. You will spend hundreds of dollars to go to leadership seminars. I do that all over the country. This will be one of the best you'll ever go to. And a member here at CCV, you have a chance to get the tickets from us at 40% off. It's only $75, including lunch. All right, now here's the deal. We have 700 tickets that's been given to us to pass out to our members. And as you leave today, on either side of the information area, it'll be set up for you, cash or credit, whatever you want to purchase those. I think we got a couple hundred left. I know they were going pretty fast at CCV. That's the way it is around here. You either get in game or you ain't playing, all right? And so I want to encourage you, take advantage of this opportunity. I saw a young gentleman last night, and he said to me, I got two tickets. And I go, who are you bringing? He said, I'm going to bring an unchurched friend. And I thought, that is the right idea. You see, a lot of your unchurched friends, businessmen, businesswomen, probably don't want to come to church, but they would come for a leadership seminar, and maybe if we get them here for a leadership seminar, they'll feel comfortable to come back again where we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. Credible opportunity. I would encourage you. Great chance. You say, I don't want to take a day off. It's worth a vacation day. It's that good. I'm serious. You will be blessed and challenged spiritually, and it will help you professionally in your personal life as well as your organization. We have some businessmen and businesswomen bringing a lot of their leadership team here. I want to encourage you to do the same thing, all right? November 18th, sneak out and get those tickets if you would, please. Let's all stand. Man, we had great things last night. We had 1,700 junior high kids here for the glow stick drop, and it was just incredible what God's doing. And so, man, great. Temperature's beautiful. The grill's going. Football's going. You know, no preaching's going. Amen. And the cafe's going. Remember, believers, keep smiling. Makes people wonder what you're up to. Have a great day. See you next week.